Good day to you, Jack Palvino, station manager of WHIC, and Doug Mandolero, my co-host, the communications director of the Diocese of Rochester, and welcome to Rochester Roundtable. Doug, we've had a lot of people who were surprised, frankly, that we're still on the air after 6 months. But
I credit you, Jack. I credit you.
So we'll show them.
We'll show them.
But we've been able to address some issues about the diocese that are not perhaps as well publicized as they might have been. And one of those is the vocation area. And we thought today we would try to shed a little light on that.
Jack, we're doing some marvelous things. We were just so delighted to be able to send five seminarians off throughout the world this past year. And joining us today are two of our newest, we call them discerners that first year before they're formally accepted and sent off to college. And it's a kind of a mutual thing. The diocese wants to make sure that they'll be good and holy priests, and they want to make sure this is the life for them. And we're here with Greg Rupik and Peter van Lieshout, and a very special guest, a man I admire very much. In May, he'll be celebrating the 30th anniversary of his priesthood, Father Tim Horan, pastor of St. Margaret Mary's. He has been, as I said in the previous show, the keystone, along with a lot of dedicated people, in just revving up the vocations effort, which is very difficult, as you know, in this culture, to convince men to answer the call that God has given them. But they've done some marvelously creative things, it seems to be paying off. So we're very proud of him and all the efforts. And maybe I'd like to ask him a few questions today about what exactly he's doing and why it's working.
Well, welcome, Father Tim. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Jack. Very nice to be here.
Right. Now, you're keeping Father Peter Bear in line over there at St. Mark.
He's a tough handle, that guy.
Yes,
and Father Rossi and Father Ertl, they're a tough crew.
Well, I know you have a tough chore.
These guys are easy compared to them.
Right. Tell us a little bit about what the vocation situation is these days, if you would.
Well, let's start a little prior to discussion of priesthood, mm-hmm. and talk about all of us who are baptized into the life of Christ. And it's at that moment that God placed a divine gift, a divine spark in each human being to bring that spark to full flame, and in doing so, to bring the light of Christ into the world. So the word vocation applies to everyone, not just to those who might be called to priesthood. Your mother and your father have a vocation from God, not just a career choice, but a vocation from God. And they brought you, Jack, a bouncing baby boy, into the world. So you're thankful for them following God's call in their life. Mm-hmm. So everyone who's listening here, don't think we're just talking about men who might be discerning priesthood. God has a particular path for you to follow in your life, and it's called your vocation. So that's where we start. Mm-hmm. Everyone has one. Now, within the universal call to bring the light of Christ to the world, every once in a while, he'll call a young man not to marry, to forego the beauty and the wonder of family life. He will have a particular grace in store for a young man to follow a different path, the path to priesthood. To discover that path is not an easy thing, because God calls those who, within our very own human natures, he doesn't change our human nature in any way. So all of the affections that we have as human beings are fully operative in any healthy young man who might be considering priesthood. So there's a long period of discernment that's required to properly establish a freedom of your soul and your mind to say yes without compulsion, to say yes with joy and peace. So it takes some time to discern the feelings, the human impulses to love and to affections, and where to place those, on what path. And like we have two fine young men here who are in the process of that discernment.
Now, as a body of work, Father Tim, what is the time frame as I'm, say, a senior at St. John Fisher. Okay. Now, what package is required beyond that to become a priest?
Okay. You want to be on the fast track? Or
I want to be on the fast track. I want to move.
Okay. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. No monkeying around.
We're laughing here, but it calls to mind a situation that happens fairly frequently, and that is that fellas are not sure. Many times when they graduate from college, that's when a formal relationship with the Diocese of Rochester can begin. Which these gentlemen have begun that formal relationship in this year of discernment. It gets more and more formal as you go along. But when I say fast track or not, some of the fellows are not ready to fully engage the program as a candidate leading to seminary. And they need some time to think about it and to feel things out. And that's even prior to Beckett Hall, which you've heard about on a previous show, and you'll hear more about today, I'm sure. It's a relationship with Christ that is maybe new, maybe unexplored, and so there's lots of spiritual conversations that need to be had. So let's presume those things have happened, all right?
Okay.
And a young man now in his senior year graduating, with a college degree, is ready to go. Well, he would approach myself at that point, Father Tim Horan, and we would begin a conversation. Not in any way to list the date of his ordination. I mean, that's a long, long way away, and many things need to be determined before that. But I would begin then to speak with this young man as to what path would await him. And what that would be, first of all, a year of a beginner's relationship with the Diocese of Rochester. In fact, the pastoral formation program that comes from the United States Catholic Bishops require a year of friendship with the diocese, wherein you meet various personnel in on the path to vocation, and we get to know them, and they get to know us. And with that year, then, we're calling it a year of discernment, though perhaps this person may be ready to go. But with that year under their belt, they then would enter a seminary. There are several that we're using in the Diocese of Rochester, and that's, of course, to the pleasure of the bishop as to where he would assign you.
He picks the seminary?
That is correct, yeah.
And perhaps, name a couple that they could be sent.
Well, Theological College in Washington, D.C., a part of Catholic University,
oh, okay.
is one where many of our men have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, within the last 3 years, Brian Carpenter is currently going to be graduating from there. And it is a graduate school of theology. So mm-hmm. these men will be doing graduate studies after their college. He is out at Mundelein in Chicago, as is Matt Jones, who just is starting his, he's in his kind of a completing year before he begins first theology.
Mm-hmm.
Louvain at in Belgium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the North American College in Rome.
Wow, it's worldwide then. I had
yes,
no idea.
Is. Yes, Bishop Clark is behind that. He wants candidates to priesthood to be able to represent a voice that they learn by being exposed to worldwide voices, Catholic voices, in theology and bishoping and things such as that.
So, well, certainly in this world it makes sense,
yes,
doesn't it?
Indeed it does.
We're such a worldwide.
It's getting to be a smaller and smaller world.
It is. That's amazing. Certainly a long way from the old St. Andrew, St. Bernard's path.
Right. We kept everybody pretty close to the
vest. Everybody stayed here.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Isn't that? I'm learning.
And these
a lot.
Two guys are raring to go. I mean, they're world travelers already, the two of them. So, Greg and Peter.
Greg and Peter, where do you guys? Do you know where you want to go yet?
Oh. I don't know if we should say that on the air yet.
All right. Now we draw the question.
Down there.
That'd be kind of neat. Are there any in the Bahamas? Might be advantageous.
Anyway, with that, theology or graduate studies in theology lasts for 4 years. We add another year called the pastoral year. So you're seminary career is 5 years. So you would be ordained on this fast track we're talking about in 6 years from the day of your graduation from college.
6 years after you've graduated.
Correct.
From college. Okay, that's something I wasn't aware of. All right. Now, what's your impression as to how we're doing? As far as the diocese, the number, not only the number, but the quality of young men who are asking you whether or not this is the path in life they should follow?
We have 6 men in theology right now around the world, and mm-hmm. I'm very proud of every one of them. And I think they're going to make outstanding priests should God be calling them to that way of mm-hmm. life. And one of the things that I'm so proud of them is that I've detected in them a courage, which is one of the virtues that's absolutely required in responding to this kind of a call. But I've detected a courage along with a spirituality that will help them to persevere, God willing. So I'm very happy with that. And Peter and Greg, who are with us today, represent... we're still getting to know each other, but they represent that same quality of person, I think. How are we doing? I wish I could say that there were, you know, we'd have to be turning people away at Becca Hall. We have room for 5, maybe 6 fellows there. We had a full house last year. We have a half house full this year. I wish there were more.
Sure.
I know for a fact, because of the men that I've talked to over this last 4 years that I've been doing this, I know for a fact that I could count, with help of some notes, I could count 45 men in the Diocese of Rochester right now, living and working and studying in the Diocese of Rochester, that have approached me or Carol Dady or one of their pastors to mention the fact that they really have felt tugged and called to consider the possibility of priesthood. Now, what's happened to those 45? I don't know. That's the mystery of God's grace and their response. These two have stuck around.
That's a lot of people. 45 is a big number, I think.
And these are men who say, I think God may be calling me to the priesthood. There are others and many more that have other inclinations along that line.
Sure.
Father, I'm just curious. I heard once that one of the biggest obstacles in the modern age is that families obviously have smaller numbers of children. But I was intrigued by the fact that sometimes the question's never asked. Could you talk a little bit about what just average folks, average Catholic families and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and what can we do to encourage vocations? How can we be of help?
That's a real good one, Doug. And I think the first thing that occurs to me is to say, live yours. Do a good job. In doing what God has called you to do. If you're a husband, be a really good husband and father. And at your work, fulfill your obligations there, and to do it with joy and with generosity, so that people say, who is this person who lives such a joyful life and such a giving life? So live your vocation, and that will alert the younger generation to theirs. But that's not enough just to live it. There has got to be, and John Paul II was real clear about this, and Benedict as well, that there's got to be a moment when from that life well lived, you speak to the younger generation and you say, now, what is God calling you to do? God has blessed you with life, thanks to me and your mother, or, you know, parents talking to their child. God has blessed you with life and given you loving parents. What do you think that the Lord might be asking of you to contribute while you're here in this world? And I think that's the question that's not happening. And it's not that it's not in our hearts. I just think we have to bring it forward.
I think that one question I'd like to ask our two young seminarians-to-be, how did your parents react when you first said, I think this is what I want to do, Mom or Pop?
Sure, sure. You know, actually, I'm very blessed. Some guys actually, you know, have experienced a lot of resistance actually from their parents. My parents are great, they're very supportive of my vocation, but not pushing me towards anything. At the same time, really wanted to make sure that, you know, this is the Lord's will for my life. And actually, I'll tell this little story. When I first told my mom that I was going to just talk to Father Tim, I think we were driving the car somewhere, and I remember she turned to me and she said something like, you know, that she wasn't surprised. She thought, even when I was little, like a little kid, she thought that I had a vocation in the priesthood. And she never told that to me before. And I was like, oh, wow.
I know for me, when I told my parents, I think they were both a little bit surprised, but when I told my sisters, that was the kicker. And they're very supportive. My parents are very supportive, anyway. Mm-hmm. Very, very supportive. But when I told my sisters, one of my sisters turned to my youngest sister and she said, I told you so. So they saw it coming, you know, longer than I had seen it coming in some sense. But they really, the family's been very supportive, and it is very important that can, for a vocation to take root, that is definitely a big help, for sure, for the family to be supportive of the vocation.
No question. One of my coworkers here at the station, our general manager, Bob Brown, has two sons who are priests.
Oh, well.
And I've often asked him, how did that happen? And he said the same thing.
Yeah, Tim and Mike were in my parish where I was ordained out at St. Pius X in Shiloh. In fact, I think Tim was an altar server at my ordination.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Terrific. But I think that is true, that a family's support is so vital. I don't care what it is, what vocation that you're going after.
You know, if there are, say, guys out there who might be, you know, think maybe I am being called, but who don't experience that support, I mean, still the Lord's grace will get you through. He's not calling you something that where His grace won't keep you. Mm-hmm. And just important to keep that in mind. And there are guys out there who, again, will experience that resistance. And it's fighting through that and working through that that is, again, part of the formation and what God is calling you to do at that particular moment.
Right. Yeah, a word, too, as long as we're going out to speak to certain situations, a word to parents and to grandparents, just to remind you that the child that you've been given is just that. It's a gift from God that you would have this son or daughter. And they ultimately were, their spirit, their soul was created by the Lord, not by you. You gave them their eyes and noses and chins and brought them into the world physically, but their personhood was created by God. And so for a parent then to say, well, oh, you don't want to think about priesthood, that means that I don't have grandchildren, you know, which, let's be honest, I think is a response, a natural response. People, grandchildren are such a blessing, but that's not your call. That's the Lord's call. And please not to interfere with what God seems to be beginning in some of these young men.
I think that's well put, Father. The lack of grandchildren might impact the telephone bills from Florida 100%, I'll say. Because if you want to start a conversation where we go in the winter, you say, how are the grandkids? And you go away for an hour while they talk.
I wanted to ask Father a little bit, because this is the communications age. And
yes.
I wanted to ask Father a little bit about some of the ways that the diocese is using communication tools. And although it sounds like a crass term, I think marketing is the proper term here. We have to speak to a younger generation that grew up, and we have to be a voice in the world and in the marketplace. So I wanted him to just talk a little bit about that. And if he would, perhaps say, if a young man is listening to this and is interested, how does he contact us?
Exactly. If someone is listening right now and says, you know, I might have a question or two, what would they do, Father?
Real good. And I'll be real quick here. I'm on a real learning curve here, and Greg is helping me with this computer age. It's a mystery to me. But early on in the work that I've been doing with vocations, I've been told that absolutely essential in communicating with young people today is the website and the internet. And so I guess the first thing that I would say is that to go to the diocesan website, dor.org, and click on vocations, and you'll see our story there. And I think pictures of Greg and Peter are there, and our seminarians as well. You'll see articles there that will help you maybe think about some things, ask the right questions, etc. We have the retreats that we advertise through the parishes in parish bulletins on the website. So if you're going to Mass on Sunday, I'm sure you're going to Mass. You may be seeing in the bulletin or there maybe in the on a poster in the vestibule things like the 24-hour retreat that for men 17 years of age and older. Bishop Clark meets with the fellas for an evening of conversation, a meal, great fun and fellowship, talking about vocation to priesthood. And then we, with an overnight, we then travel to the cathedral for the ordination to the priesthood, the one we'll be celebrating this June. So there's that retreat. There are these things called Fisher dinners that, again, the website will tell you about. Lastly, if you want to talk to somebody, you call me. I'm in Rochester, 585-342-2100. That's my office number. Leave a message if I'm not there. My email address would be F for Father, Horan, H-O-R-A-N, at dor.org. And I'd love to hear from you.
Father Tim, are there modern methods being used for young people who are interested in vocations, perhaps the internet, the website? Is there an area that they should get into? I know this is the language of the younger generation. There's no question about that.
Right. We mentioned just a moment ago about the diocesan website. I'm going to step back here for a second because these fellows have lots of stuff that they can tell you about in terms of the new communications.
Sure. I wouldn't even be here today right now if it wasn't for other websites out there that I just stumbled across in searching out my vocation. And I heard, Doug just mentioned that before that the diocese has uploaded certain videos up on YouTube. So if you can even search for the Diocese of Rochester vocation videos, I'm sure on there. Let me tell you, the best video I've ever seen for vocations is this video called The Fishers of Men, and it's put out by the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Again, it's The Fishers of Men, and I just encourage everyone really to go on YouTube or find this video online, search for it, because it's fantastic. Every time I watch it, I've seen it so many times. Every time I watch it, I get so fired up. It goes through this range of emotions where sometimes I want to cry, sometimes I just want to go out there and fight. I mean, I don't even know what's going on. Oh, it's fantastic.
It really hit your button, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. How long is it run?
I think that's 19, 17, somewhere in that.
Okay.
17,
so
19
short,
minutes.
It's a short
clip. Yeah, yeah.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any others that you might have seen or scrolled across that people who are just paging through the internet might find helpful here?
Well, there's just a lot. There's just a lot there. Any young man who's serious about it and types in something like vocations, they're bound to stumble upon something. There are a lot of great websites out there with a lot of good, information that they could, and they'll actually point you towards, at least in the right direction as far as who to contact.
Greg, have you in your studies or recently in your readings, is there anything, any author or any title that you've read that has been particularly helpful to you?
Vocations.
I can think
of
one.
Your own spiritual life.
Oh, well, I can think of one in particular on vocations. Archbishop Timothy Dolan of Milwaukee has written a book called Priests for the Third Millennium, something like that. And he was actually rector of the North American College, the seminary in Rome. And this is basically sort of his rector's conferences that he would give to the seminarians, these talks. And they cover all of these different aspects of the spiritual life. So it's a good resource. I think there's short chapters where you could read, celibacy or, humility or, any specific topics that he writes on. So that's one resource. Again, priest for the third millennium, Archbishop Timothy Dolan of Milwaukee. The other thing I would add is just that, you know, there's in these websites that are out there, you know, there's some that you that I think can be helpful. They have sort of frequently asked questions, and take a look at those and see, you know, how priests have responded to these, to the common questions. Because there's, I know, again, there's I've come across websites where it's like any question that I've had, any concern, has already been asked by some other guy, and he's and it's online, a good answer.
So, there's nothing new, right?
Yeah.
Did you have other areas?
Well, there's just a lot. There's a lot out there, even for young men who might not even be discerning, particularly a vocation to the priesthood, who are just discerning, who are, you know, kind of coming to their faith at a new time and looking at it in a new light and saying, well, you know, is this something that is fulfilling? Is this something that I need? And so there's a lot out there to recommend for young men, books maybe even that, you know, grandparents can get for their young men. Something like Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is a phenomenal book for someone who's just kind of getting back into or starting to look at their faith in a new light. There's a number of books out there on the market. Some of them I can't think of right now, but there's also a number of church movements that are growing that Pope Benedict has been exceptionally supportive of. Movements like Regnum Christi, Opus Dei, the Charismatic Movement, and Communion and Liberation, which I find, you know, a strong affinity towards. And all these movements are also wonderful ways for people to get involved, for young men, young women as well, to really kind of reclaim their faith at the age that they're living in right now. And surely, a step towards, you know, discernment and really trying to figure out what your vocation is.
I think Greg makes a good point. It's sometimes, first it takes sort of a reclaiming of your faith, a sort of conversion experience, in your own life before you can, you know, sort of be open to the call to priesthood, or even the call to just living authentic, Christian Catholic marriage. So definitely look into some of these things that we've been talking about.
Peter, you bring up, I think the basic touchstone in all of this conversation, has to do with Christ, and Christ's claim on our soul, and the encounter with Christ in some fashion, in some way, some dramatic, some real simple, some filled with emotion, some quite peaceful. But sooner or later, somewhere along the line, to be invited to fall in love with Christ is where it starts. And this is for the baptized, for those who have been quickened to supernatural life in the waters of baptism. There is a relationship with Christ that if you pursue that, that's the first thing, friendship with Christ. If you pursue that, the discernment of whatever particular vocation the Lord has in mind will come.
You've been listening to Rochester Diocesan Roundtable with Jack Palbino, Doug Mandalera, Father Tim, Greg, and Peter, our discerners. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day.